The title of my message this morning is Called to Make Disciples. Called to Make Disciples. And I really want to encourage us not to go, I've heard this before. Or, here we go again, and actually just close our hearts. I want to encourage us not to do that, but really allow the Holy Spirit to work in and through us as I preach. You know, we sang this morning like, how we are changed by His love, right? And it's always this tension of, you know, the gospel of Jesus is He comes and He saves us through His grace and He saves us through His love. And we can't earn it, we don't deserve it, we can't work for it. It is purely because of His love and His grace for us, right? When we get saved. But when we do walk with Him, when we do know Him, He doesn't want to leave us like we are. He wants to change us to look more and more like Jesus, right? So there's this tension. I need someone to shout amen every now and again. I don't know who that was, but bless you. Who was that? Nice, Rob. And the primary way, actually 90% of the time, the way that He does this is through discipleship. And as I've been seeking the Lord, I really felt this is an important message just in light of the last few months. We've had incredible few months. Do you guys agree? From the prophetic workshop, I mean, who was touched and never the same after that prophetic weekend? It was incredible, right? And then we had our camp, which was great. And I've said this, and I'm going to say it again. I am so excited and I'm so expectant for us as a congregation. I've said this before, that God has a plan, He has a purpose, He has inheritance for us as Josh in Weinberg in the Sound Suburbs. We believe this. Do you believe that He's called us not to just trot along, do our own thing, go through the motions, but actually impact people in the Sound Suburbs for His glory, right? And we are here to see His kingdom advance. And part of that is to let Trev and Michelle go, because that is advancing His kingdom. And I've said this before, but He is calling each one of us to be part of that. Each single person to be part of that. Not just some, not just the elders, not just the deacons, not just the comm leaders, not just those that's been saved for 40 years, not just those that's been saved for 2 years. He calls every single person that's part of this congregation to be part of what He wants to do. Every single person. No one is excluded. And He's calling each one of us, and Mervis touched on this. Someone else also touched on this, but I can't remember who. My brain is a bit fried. But He's calling each one of us to be uncomfortable, to get out the boat, and keep our eyes on Jesus. That we're not called to just to be comfortable, trot along, and hopefully wait for, well, not hopefully, He's coming back one day, but in our lifetime. Each one of us is called to do this. And over the last few weeks, we've spoken about how to position ourselves before God to see Him do what He wants to do in us, and to see Him do what He wants to do through us. And stuff we've mentioned over the last few weeks before the camp was to walk in humility, to humble ourselves before Him. He can only do what He wants to do through His Spirit. It's not in our flesh or our strength. We spoke about not shrinking back, which was a big thing I felt for us, that God has not called us to be a people that shrink back and say, this is for other people. But He's called each and every one of us to be bold and courageous, to have guts, was the word that Melanie used, and to trust and position ourselves to see Him do what He wants to do. And then we also spoke about how presence precedes promise, that how we should be people of His presence, because if we're people of His presence, if we carry His presence, what He wants to do in and through us and what He's promised us, He will do. And this morning, I want to give us another anchor point, and this is, we are called to make disciples. Because, believe it or not, but if you read the Bible, it doesn't call us to have revival meetings. It doesn't call us to have teaching centers. It doesn't call us to have great worship experiences. Even though, tension, yeah? If the Holy Spirit pours Himself out and we see revival, I want to be part of that, right? We want to have worship where we experience His presence. We want to have good biblical teaching. All of that is part of what He wants to do, but it's not the primary thing. The primary thing in the everyday, day-to-day lives that we live, He's called us to make disciples. That is the thing. That is the vision, so to speak. That is what He calls us to do. And here's the funny part. He calls each one of us to make disciples. Not just some, not just the leaders. Every single person is called to make disciples. Every single person. And I think there's two big traps we fall into. Thinking that if we go to church on a Sunday and we go to Com on a Wednesday, we are being discipled, or we are discipling others because we attend our meetings. And the danger with that is when we come to church, we quickly learn the right things to say and the right things to do. I call it Christian. It's not my frame, my term, but I call it Christianese. We lift our hands because we see others lift our hands. We might come to the front for worship because other people do it. We go to Com because we like the vibe and it's lacquer and it's a place to get a free meal or to connect or to do whatever. And we, thanks Justin, and we quickly just learn to go through the motions, to tick the box, but we're not actually being discipled. And we miss the heart of what it means to be discipled. Or, and to disciple, because it's both. And the other trap that we fall into is thinking God does not want to use me to make disciples. That he wants to use others. That he wants, again, use the leaders or the elders, the deacons, the communities, whoever, but he does not want to use me. And that is a lie. The most exciting, the most profound, the thing that gets me the most excited when I look at the church in the New Testament is this thing about priesthood. That all of us, every single person, is called to be a priest in the house of God. Every single person. Every single person is called to bring their gifts, bring their time, bring their lives, and use it for his glory in making disciples of others. Every single person. And the reality is, as each one of us brings what we have, and as each one of us walks in what God has called us to walk, we see the full picture of Jesus in the church. One person cannot, I'm talking about church context, not by yourself, we all call to reflect Jesus. But in a church context, as a body of believers, one person cannot solely alone reflect the fullness of him. It's not biblical. It's not what he's called us to do. As we all come together and we all contribute and we all make disciples and we all are being discipled, we see the fullness of him and the beauty of him. So priesthood, it's important. Each one of us is called to do this. You know, people often ask me, what is the vision for the church? Like 2026, sort of 2026, someone came to me. He's not here, so I can make fun of him. But someone came to me saying, Esther, what's a vision for Wynberg for 2026? And then I was, my brew. I don't even know what God's going to tell me next week. How must I tell you what God's going to do in November in 8 months' time? You know what I mean? Now, obviously, we do plan, and I do feel God speaking to me about what he has for us. That's obviously part of it. But it's always pencil lines because I don't know what God's going to do next week. So it's not wrong to have vision. I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying we need to be careful. Because if you look at the Bible, the vision of the church, if it's a healthy New Testament church, the vision of the church is first and foremost to make disciples. That is the thing that should drive us, that should keep us, that should take us forward, is to make disciples. So this morning, I want to give us 3 points to think about when you think about discipleship. To think, sure, there's a lot of things. I'm hoping that, as we look at these 3 points, I'm really hoping that it will help us to think biblically about discipleship. Because there's a lot of people that speak about this, you know, discipleship. But let's look at what the Bible says. And then secondly, I want us to take this and apply it to our lives and not walk out of here and not change or do anything different. So, first point is discipleship is about Jesus. Who knew that? There's one guy that knew that. We are in trouble. Discipleship is about Jesus. Our first and our primary way of making disciples is pointing each other to Jesus. And I'm going to read the well-known scripture that we all know when we speak about discipleship, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And we know that scripture very well. So firstly, Jesus calls us to make disciples and teach each other what? To obey him. One of the greatest and most loving things we can do for each other is to build away from ourselves and point each other to Jesus. Questions like, when we walk with each other, questions like, what does the Bible say about your question? Have you searched the scriptures? We can't go beyond what is written. Something else, have you prayed about this? Questions like, what is God telling you? Because the reality is we are a highly relational and pastoral church. We are. If you don't know that, we are. I am continually blown away, and I really am sincere in saying this, I'm continually blown away by the deep love and the care that our people have for one another. It's incredible. It really is incredible. Like, obviously, the camp is the most recent thing, but just in, like people helping each other to go camp. It was incredible. People paying for other people's tickets, people giving tents and chairs and stuff, and helping people set up and helping people sit down on the weekend. Incredible. We are incredible in our pastoral care for one another and our love for each other, and we shouldn't lose that. And our leaders really go above and beyond to pastor and care for you. Actually, let's just give a shout out to our leaders. Guys, you are amazing. And we must continue to do that, but we must be careful that in our love and care for each other, that we don't start building towards ourselves, and we don't become crutches for people. So people rely on us to hear God and to sort out their problems for them and to help them through, and we actually enable them to walk on crutches, because we're not called to do that. We're called to love one another, we're called to care for one another, to pastor one another, but we must continually encourage and challenge people to seek and obey Jesus above all else. Above all else. We're not here, like, I can't be Jesus to anyone. No one can be Jesus to anyone. We can't become crutches for people. We can't bowl towards ourselves because we want to, because that's natural, and we love and care for each other, but always point one another to Jesus. And actually, we must all lay down our opinions, our preferences. We must lay it at the feet of Jesus continually and choose above all else to live complete and surrendered lives to him and to obey him no matter the cost. And we can't do that if we bowl towards ourselves. We must point each other to Jesus first and foremost. So I want to encourage us in this. When we disciple people, when we walk with our friends, our comm leaders, people in our comm, whatever, let's point each other to Jesus first and foremost. What is God telling you? What does the Bible say? Have you prayed about it? That's healthy church, because people take responsibility for their own lives, but we obviously care deeply for one another and we help one another. Does that make sense? Thank you. That is the mark of a true disciple, is being pointed to Jesus continually. In Matthew 4:18-20, we read, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen, so they were busy with their lives. That was their business. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once, they left their nets and followed him. And I just love that the disciples had no idea what they were getting into. Even after Jesus was crucified, they still didn't have an idea what's going on. They thought he's going to overthrow the Roman Empire, set himself up as king, and the Jews will be restored and redeemed. And obviously Jesus had other plans. They had no idea what they were getting into, but they were obedient to Jesus. He called them, and they went. And we should first and foremost encourage and challenge one another to be obedient to Jesus and to follow him and not bold towards ourselves. I hope that makes sense. It's obviously tension. We love each other and we care for one another, but we bold away from ourselves. Number two might be a bit controversial, but just let me explain. Discipleship is conditional. Discipleship is conditional. And this is hard to hear sometimes because the world tells us we can do whatever we want, have whatever we want, say whatever we want. There's no consequences. There's no whatever we decide is for our best, what we want. But actually, the Bible paints a very different picture of what it means to walk in discipleship. If we read in Mark 10, verse 17 to 23, as Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him, saying, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Just pause there. Oh, sorry. Thanks, Jean. Real question, real need, eh? This guy's really wanting to know, what must he do to inherit eternal life? "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered, "No one is good except God alone." I'm not going to go into that now. "You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not do fraud. Honor your father and mother." "Teacher," he declared, "all this I've kept since I was a boy." This guy has a heart to follow God. He's not arrogant. He really has kept these commandments. And we see in verse 21, sorry, Michal, I'm messing around. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved him. And just note that. Jesus looked at him and loved him. We're going to talk about that now. "One thing you lack," he said. "Go, sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me." At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. And then Jesus said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven?" Now, this is a beautiful story of someone that came to Jesus really with a heart to know him, to walk with him, to be his disciple. And he was 90% of the journey he's already done. And then Jesus gives him a condition, and he can't follow him. Which is sad, eh? Jesus had certain conditions for this man to be his disciple. This man agreed with what Jesus was saying. He was like, "I've done that. I don't murder. I honor my father and my mother. I followed all these examples." So he was going, "We're on the same page. So far, so good." In terms of following him or inheriting eternal life, that was his question. And just if we pause there, how often do we do this? How often do we go to others wanting need, or we want help, or we want perspective, and then the people tell us what we want to hear, and we go, love it, I agree, and we agree with someone up until a certain point, and we actually want them to be disciples as they say what we actually want to hear. And the advice that we are given is actually what we want to hear. But then if you look at Jesus, he asks him to lay down the thing that mattered most, and that was his wealth. And then he couldn't follow him. And Jesus is gracious and he's gentle, and he loves us, and there's so much grace for us. But to be a disciple of Jesus is conditional. Jesus did not have pity on him in that sense and said, "Oh, it's all right, keep your wealth and come follow me." He walked away from him. Which is hectic to hear. It's hectic to hear. And I was wondering this week, as I've been prepping for this, I was wondering what would have happened to that man if he said yes. What would have happened? Would we have heard of him? Would God have used him? Would he have written some letters maybe? Would he have been on Paul's team eventually? Like, what would have happened if this man went, "I'm going to obey Jesus at all costs. I want to be his disciple. He's asking me to lay down my wealth. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to follow him." What would have happened if this man chose to be a disciple? And then we read in verse 21, where Jesus said he looked at him and loved him. Which is a profound thing to say, right? This guy missed the point here. He wasn't willing to meet Jesus' conditions, but Jesus loved him. And I think it's because he was so close. He was so close to being a disciple of Jesus, to following him, but he missed it. He was so close to the kingdom of God, yet he couldn't enter. So my point is, to be a disciple of Jesus is conditional. Now, we obviously, in a Christian walk, we obviously want to be mature Christians, and we want to hold tension between different truths, right? Right? So I'm not saying that salvation is conditional. I'm not saying that we need to work for our own salvation, that it's on our own merit. I'm not saying that. We are saved by grace. Jesus loves us dearly. I'm also not saying if we miss it, we miss it, and that's it. Jesus has so much grace for us. We can boldly come near to the throne of grace. His mercies is new every morning. We all miss it every day. We all make decisions that we shouldn't every day. every single day. We all are disobedient and rebellious in our hearts every single day. And Jesus loves us and he cares for us, and we are transformed by his love and his grace. That is the only thing that transforms us. That is the gospel, that is the truth, right? So everyone happy with that? But just because that is the truth doesn't mean something else is not the truth. Two truths can be in tension. And the other truth is, once we are his disciples, once we have accepted his gift of grace, once we do walk with him, it is conditional. We read in John 8 how Jesus tells the people, if you obey my commandments, if you obey what I'm saying, you are my disciples. That's a condition. If you walk in what I'm asking you to walk, if you obey what I'm asking you to do, you are my disciple. That is the fruit of being a disciple of Jesus, is obedience. And that's conditional, right? It's the same with kids. Like, if kids are disobedient, we discipline them, right? Not saying we don't love them, not saying there isn't grace, but we do. I hope. Do we discipline our kids? I hope this makes sense. So my encouragement this morning is, let's be disciples of one another. Let's open our lives to each other and live in the light. If you truly want to grow in the Lord, if you truly want to walk in what he has for you, give yourself to be discipled. Give yourself to be discipled. At the start of the year, at our first family meeting, Combined Com, I said, we don't want to be cheerleaders of one another. Do you guys remember that? We want to be disciples. The difference is cheerleaders cheer you on, and they say, go for it. Yes. Whatever you're doing is right. Like, we are here to support you, which is great. We obviously need to encourage one another. But discipleship is where people can actually tell you what you're saying is wrong, what you're doing is wrong. Have you prayed about this? Have you searched the scriptures? Have you gone to someone to get perspective? And the biggest thing, and here's the test, do you have someone in your life that you can go to and ask them something, and they say, no, it's not a good idea, and you listen to them, even if you disagree? Or is it just I love being discipled, as long as you tell me as long as you say what I want to hear, and as long as you agree with me, then I'm being discipled. But do we have people, it's not a control thing. Listen, I don't want to control anyone's lives. I have difficulty controlling my own life. I don't have capacity or time to control anyone else. It's not about control. It is about discipling one another, living in the light, being accountable, getting perspective, and allowing people to disciple you. That's what we want to do, right? That's what Jesus called us to do, is to make disciples. And how do we make disciples? It's by allowing people to have perspective in your life. It's by hearing people tell you no. And then you go, I don't see it, but because you tell me no, I'm going to listen to you. And trust that God will work in that, even if they're wrong. Even if they're wrong. Do we really think that we all miss what God has for us because of someone? Isn't God bigger and greater than that? Okay. Is everyone happy with that? Let's not be cheerleaders of one another. Let's be disciples. And then my third point. So the first point was point people to Jesus. Second point was we want to be conditional. Thank you. I'm reading the third point. I'm like, and the third point is discipleship is intentional. It's intentional. How front-footed are we to being discipled and to disciple others? Because it does not just happen, guys. It does not just happen. I think we sometimes think it will just naturally happen within our congregation or within the church. It doesn't just naturally happen because it's not natural. Our default is not to allow people to give input in our lives and for us to give input into others' lives. That is not the way the world works at all. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. And because it's supernatural, like in everything that has to do with God, we need to be intentional, right? We intentionally read our Bibles. We intentionally pray. We intentionally get up on a Sunday morning when the weather looks like this to come to church. We intentionally go to come on a Wednesday, right? So then we should intentionally disciple each other as well. It doesn't just happen. We need to be front-footed. We need to be a people who are intentional about being disciples. And that is the way that we want to build. If you look at our community groups, oftentimes, and really this does happen often, visitors will come and I'll connect with them after the service, like we'll chat on WhatsApp or we'll go for coffee, whatever. And they'll always ask me, how does your community groups work? Do you have like one community group for the young adults, and then you have one community group for all the young parents with young kids, and then a community group for the parents with the teenagers, and then the golden oldies? Like, do you have different? And we don't. And there's a simple reason for it, is that if we are called to make disciples of each other, surely that means we cross-pollinate. Surely that means you have someone in your life that's raised their kids, and they're 20 years older than you or 30 years older than you, and they've walked that road and they can help you. And your kids are maybe a bit older, so you can help people that just had a baby. But that doesn't just happen if it's not intentional. And that's why in our community, that's just an example, but in our community groups, we really try to build intentionally by having people from all walks of life together in groups, so that we all can learn from each other, all can disciple one another. The young people, they get to keep the old people from getting old, and the old people get the young people to be mature. It's a win-win, right? Young and old, singles, married people, people with kids, people without kids, all together, discipling each other together. And I'm going to say this because it's true. It potentially causes us to grow slower in numbers because people go where it's comfortable and people go where they naturally fit in. So if we have 60 young adults and we have 3 massive young adults comm groups and it's a vibe and every Wednesday they get together and they have coffee till 12 o'clock because they don't need to worry about getting kids up in the morning. Not saying young adults are like that. I love you guys. It's just an example. Then if we have young adults come into our congregation, it's easy to fit into that because it's already there. But because we don't build like this, we might grow a bit slower, which is perfect, and it's okay. Because we want to be healthy above all else, and God will add people to us. So that's an example. Our community groups are intentionally set up the way they set up so that we can disciple each other, that we can learn from each other. And this is the biblical way. It's the healthy way. So I want to ask the single people in our congregation, are you intentionally plugging yourself into the lives of families? Do you spend time with people that's married and that has kids? People with kids or married couples, do you intentionally invite single people into your lives? In the midst of having kids and everything that comes with that, are we intentionally inviting single people into our lives? Where else are they going to hopefully see healthy marriage? And look, if they come into your home and you're mad and it's red flags and it's dodge, then they need to tell someone because how else are you going to grow? You know? But are we intentionally allowing people into our lives that's not naturally like us? People with kids as well, are we intentionally spending time with people that's gone before us? Do we pick the brains of people that has grown-up kids and ask them, how did you do that? Why did you do that? I want to say this. We are rich in quality of people in our congregation. We are rich in quality of people in our congregation. We have awesome people across the board, and this is a safe space. So let's disciple and invest in each other. Not just young, I'm going to pick on young adults because they can take it. Not just young adults doing their own thing or young families doing their own thing, but across the board. Let's cross-pollinate. Let's not shrink back. And Monet, I spoke to Monet 2 weeks ago, and he said, as we build deeper, the net goes wider. Because we do want to see people, we do want to see God add people to us. We do want people to walk through that door and get saved and get discipled and grow and have healthy marriages and healthy kids. We do want to see that. We don't want to just stay as we are. But as we build deeper, God adds people and the net goes wider. As the value of New Testament church, of what it means to disciple one another, as that grows deeper, the net goes wider. I want to use an example out of the Bible of what this looks like. It's in Acts 16, verse 1 to 5. So this is Paul. He came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived. whose mother was a Jewess and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The brothers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey. Remember that, along on the journey? So he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. We obviously don't need to circumcise each other. We're not a cult. But what I love about this is that Paul came into that town, he met Timothy, he met his mom, and he took Timothy along on the journey. So as Paul went and did life, as Paul went to the different churches, as he did life, he took Timothy with him. And I feel that is key for us. We want to be people that counsel one another. We want to be people that pray for each other. We want to be people that help each other, that really comes alongside each other. We want to do that. But we do that as we go along on the journey. As we do life, we take people with us. Because otherwise we become very internally focused and it just becomes about your problems and your issues and what you're going through, which is fine. But we do that as we do life together. We disciple each other. As each one of us goes along the journey of life, every day, we take people with us. We eat together, we exercise together, we go for walks, we go to the beach. And as we do life together, and it doesn't have to be perfect, but as we do life together, we disciple one another. That's where conversation, that's what I loved about the camp. It was easy just to have conversations because we were doing poiki and some people were playing spike ball. And as we do life together, we disciple one another. And discipleship happens through friendship. I want to say that. Let's be friends. Discipleship happens through friendship. The beauty of the way the Bible calls us to disciple one another is that young people can call old people friends. Old people can call young people friends. And how, where else are, where does that happen in the world, right? So let's be intentional with inviting others along the journey. Each one of us should have one or two or three Pauls in our lives, people that disciple us. So we need Timothy, we need Pauls in our lives to disciple us. Each one of us need Timothys in our lives where we disciple someone else. Just like Paul discipled Timothy, we need to have Timothys in our lives. And I really want, I want to say this. In my own life, I have people that continually point me to Jesus. Just last week, I sat with Trevor. And I was like, Trevor, I need perspective on my finances. I need perspective with this house. We need to move. I think everyone knows. So we're looking for a house. I need perspective on this. I need to have the tension between trusting the Lord and walking in faith, but also doing what my hands find to do and looking for a house. I can't just sit back and, or maybe, anyway, I can't just sit back and expect something to fall onto my lap, or maybe I should, I don't know. But anyway, I needed perspective. So I went to someone. I said, help me see this, like, help me see this, because I'm not seeing this properly. We all need this. We all need this. And the last thing that I want to say, this, we cannot go without this. This is not a good to have. This is not like an extra to my walk with Jesus. It's not a great suggestion. You know, Matthew 28, they call it the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's not like, yeah, maybe if you want to. It's, we can't. We can't. It's actually sin. I'm going to say it. It's actually sin not to walk in this because it's a clear commandment of the Lord. He calls us to make disciples. And if we want to walk individually and as a body, if we want to walk in the plans and the purposes that God has for us as a church, we need to give ourselves to this. This is the way that we grow. This is the way that we learn. This is the way that we impact others. This is the way that we are being impacted, is to give ourselves, to make disciples, to have Timothys, and to be disciples, to have Pauls. Let's make it our life goal. That's the vision, guys. That's what we're here to do, is make disciples. So, typically we have a response, right? Where we have, there's nothing wrong with that, but we have worship and we ask the Holy Spirit to come and work, which is great. But I want our response this morning to be, to ask ourselves, how can I cross-pollinate? Who are the singles or the younger people or the couples, if you're single, or the older people, wherever you are, who are people within our body that I can intentionally invite into my life and be intentional with? And be practical, be specific, think practically about people, like who are people? And I mean, obviously the natural way, place to start is your comm group, but I don't want to limit it there. We're obviously not called to just be in our comm groups, we're called to be a body. But go away this morning and firstly, come before the Lord, search the scriptures. I don't want to just talk out of my own flesh, like this needs to be what the Bible teaches us. Look at the scriptures. If you are convicted that this is what God's called us to do, then do something about it. Be practical, be specific, be intentional with inviting people into your lives that you can disciple and that can disciple you. Be intentional with getting perspective. Be intentional with getting people to pray for you. So let the response this morning be to go away and actually start to implement this. Because just imagine what Jesus will do in and through us as we disciple one another. And this is, guys, this is supposed to be encouraging. We are doing well. This is an encouragement message. Like, I've been in Wynberg for 11 years, and we have grown immensely in discipleship. It's just an encouragement that it's more for us. Okay? Can we all stand? I just would like to pray for us.